Hello, good morning, Thomas Torreira, podcast 161, your weekly degenerate dose of day game via digital miracles on iTunes, on YouTube, and soon on other favourite podcast platforms. To filter or not to filter? That is the day game question I shall be asking and answering today with a day gamer in the Baltics, a bloody good day gamer called St. Roberts, who I met on my travels. We shall bring him in via the magic of Skype in a second. It's a pre-recorded interview I did earlier this week. I am waiting to head off to Germany for the weekend. I'm going to Munich with my original day game wing, Dirty Anthony Hustle, a fantastic hustler who's back in the game. We're just doing a one-off sold-out boot camp, and that's it for the end of my teaching this year. So Munich this weekend, and then back to the UK and European hustling after that. But I need to do a plug. What would this podcast be without a cha-ching plug? My books, my bedtime book collection for bachelors. What a lot of alliteration this week. The textbook A to Z is Street Hustle. It's hardback, print only. That's my Bible for day game, texting, dating, relationships, etc., including the biology of lust and love. And then the Kindle and paperback books, Day Game, my first ever book, followed by Torreira Travels, and then Cold Calling. And soon, my new book, Below the Belt, will also be a paperback and eventually on Kindle. That's a few weeks away. Anyway, enough of the plugs. Let us dive into podcast 161, where I talk to St. Roberts about his day game roller coaster of a journey and this critical question dividing day gamers right now. Should you filter what types of girls you approach and date? Should you change your approach to different girls on dates and with escalating? Or is it all just the bloody same? Over to you, St. Roberts. St. Robert, are you there in Riga, Latvia?
Yeah, hi Tom, I'm here and ready for all.
Good evening, sir. What a pleasure. I met you on my van tour. It was bloody cold and I was driving through Latvia. And who did I meet but a tall, suave day gamer in the streets. And he said, hello, I'm St. Robert. That's how we met, I think, wasn't it, bro?
It was. We exchanged a few emails and... Another thing was, both times you were in Riga, you accidentally run into me.
Yes, either I'm stalking you or you're stalking me, I don't know.
But exactly, something's wrong.
Something's wrong. But it was nice to meet you after you had sent me some lay reports, I think, from Riga for the Below the Belt thing.
Yeah.
And it was quite clear from the statistics you gave me that you're doing very well. So do you want to tell our dear brothers about your day game, about how you got into day game, and give them some stats, because guys like the old stats.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a nerd when it comes to stats, and I started seriously day gaming. I started last September, maybe October, and I started counting sets mid-October. Since then, I've done a bit less than 800 sets, like 760 or something like that. I don't recall exact number of lays. It's around 24, 25 from day game. So that's between 1 out of 30 and 1 out of 40. 1 out of 30 or 1 out of 40 opens. As for numbers, I don't know. I have like a 30-something percent number class percentage. Almost all of them reply, like 82% reply. And of those, around 20% come out, something like that. And my late date number is around 1.8. So the lay usually happens on date number 1.8, around something like that.
Well, these I love them. These are very impressive. And some guys are going, "What the fuck? I don't believe it." But having met you. And seen your vibe, and I'd forgotten how old you are, mate.
I'm 30, and when we first met, I still had my hair.
Yeah, you've gone hardcore now.
I went hardcore. I have a huge beard, bald head, shave it every day, ripped jeans, and basically, I don't know, like a bit of a rock and roll vibe.
Well, those stats are very impressive. There's almost little room for improvement. I mean, I do know day gamers with a 1 in 20 stat. A 1 in 3 number close is fine, and a 1 out of 2 date delay is bang on, quite literally. What I said to you that you can change, the final test for you is getting the hell out of Riga. Because it's one thing, it's impressive still with Latvians and Latvian Russians, but if you can replicate those stats in Miami, Sydney, Barcelona, then you think, fuck yeah, this is global, yeah?
Exactly, and that's the reason why I'm considering actually going to Kiev this autumn.
Yeah.
Just to try my skills outside of Riga. We're going with another day gamer, if I'm going. He's from Portugal and I'm from Riga, so we have very different backgrounds, but we're both going to test Kiev.
Nice, man. Testing your mettle in another arena.
Exactly.
Well, that was the stats. What about... That's quite a short time. I didn't realize you had only started the end of last year.
I did a bit of day game, like 50 sets before, and had one lay. But then I got in a 2.5 year relationship, which comes up later in my stories today. That's a story I'm going to totally tell the listeners. I used your dating model before I started day gaming. I used it when I still used Tinder and other tools. So I knew the dating model, but I didn't use the day game skills that much.
Well, impressive. And as I said to you in Riga, it's all very nice if you listed all your lays, but what guys really like and what's useful is the juicy failure or the juicy pain. And even in less than a year's worth of approaching, you must have some wonderfully low moments as well as the highs, yeah?
Oh, definitely. The beginning was really hard, actually, because if you are from a bigger city, you can find people who day game and you can go out with them. Or if you found Tom Torero when you started, you had the right tools, you had the right information, you had the right wings. And what happened to me was I started in Riga, where no one really did much here. People who did something, I knew a guy who did some RSD stuff, I knew someone who did Mod 1 stuff, but I couldn't really learn from them, so I had to learn all by myself. I thought I was the only one, and I didn't have a wing, I didn't have anything, I just went out alone, and it was basically walking alone for 2 weeks, almost every day, for 2 hours. Like an idiot, and telling myself excuses why I'm not opening. And actually, I walked, literally, I'm not joking, I walked around for 2 weeks nonstop, trying to do a set, and I didn't do a single open.
Can you remember those voices in your head? Because every guy has a different subset of voices. Like, do you remember what the anxiety was? Was it people are watching me, or I'm not worthy, or she's not hot enough?
It was all of that, but basically it was the physical feeling that I was feeling in my throat, in my chest. It was just like squishing me.
Yeah.
And I was so scared, I couldn't even imagine going up to a girl. So, yeah. But it was more physical than... Once I started opening, I started noticing the reasons why I didn't open. Because basically my start was in October. So it's getting cold and people aren't on the streets, and the whole winter I had to game in one shopping mall.
Yeah.
Like 3-4 times a week in one shopping mall in the center of Riga.
It's not a big city. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a small mall, so everyone's watching, everyone knows, and it was obviously it was true, but it didn't really stop me from doing it. I just I kept pushing through. And what actually helped me a lot was I didn't focus on doing 10 sets. I didn't care about that. What I did was I focused on doing one set per day. If I had one conversation, if I did one open, I was really happy with what I did.
Nice.
And I started focusing on really small positive things. From there it went, I don't know, like once I did a week of one set per day, It was much easier. I started doing 5-10 sets, and approach anxiety kinda, it never really goes away. That's that.
But you prove to your brain through
the real world feedback. Just pushed it.
And that it works, and that they're not all blowouts, that you can get phone numbers. And then by that stage, were some of the phone numbers turning into early dates?
Some, yeah, but a lot of numbers didn't respond, and then I worked on my texting. It got better. I got dates. I got actually some lays. In the beginning, it was mostly lays on the third date. I couldn't get them home on the first or second date, but the third one was pretty easy.
Yeah.
Sites really improved, and I started working on texting. Texting was the hardest part for me to crack, but as we've spoken with you before, it's something you learn by trial and error.
Yeah.
Until you understand it. But one thing I understood, that sexual pings don't work. Because I had this really nice ping that I thought is really funny. I went to my grandma's house, and she has, like, she's 70-something, and she has three books in her bookshelf, like three books of from the 50 Shades of Grey series.
Your grandmother?
Yeah, and I sent it as a ping to girls that, hey, I'm a good grandson, and I visit my grandma, look what she's reading.
Yeah,
I got some girls who blocked me after that.
Yeah, so being too explicit, being too verbal.
Yeah, don't send sexual pings. It almost never works. It's not, and when it works, the effect isn't as good as it's not. It doesn't really change anything. So my advice is just don't be sexual in texting at all. Focus on building a bit of comfort, a bit of attraction with funny pings, but mostly just get the girl out. As soon as she responds well, like fast and with long text, just get her out, stop texting, go on a date and do your job. Actually play the game instead of like sitting and pressing buttons on your phone.
Yeah, if you're feeling really horny, then put your phone down and have a wank. That's what I say to my students. I say, I don't want to see you do it, but the moment you've shot your load, you will not send her those errors. Yeah?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Those errors come from having a few beers late at night, usually with students, and then the dick picture happens.
And she might even
enjoy it that evening, but the next day, she's vanished. You know, so
yeah.
But anyway, how many did it take you, or how long did it take you until you got a lay?
Oh no, I got my lays pretty fast actually. I got my lays even before I started the counting sets, because I just followed the advice I got way before when I day gamed, when I did those 50 sets. I just, someone, either it was you or the old London guys before they said, just take her by the hand and go home. And that's what I did. And she asked me, where are we going? And I said, we're going to mine. She's like, oh, okay. I just went by the book. I didn't complicate it. I didn't invent shit. I just read what's written in the material, and I just implemented it. And wow, surprise, surprise, it fucking works.
Okay, well,
so it didn't take long at all. It didn't take long at all as soon as I started following material.
Guys are listening thinking, oh, that's the end of all your problems. He cracked day game, then he cracked texting, then he cracked the dating. Well done, Robert. But that's not how a roller coaster works, is it?
Well, I recently had a day game burnout, because when you learn game, you learn the system, you learn the structure, you follow a structure. It works so good. But after a while, you just get bored.
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't want to do this copy-paste shit anymore.
Yeah.
And moving away from the failures slowly is a really short story. So I went on a date with a girl. Mm-hmm. She came back to mine, but she had some medical procedure 2 days ago. I don't know how it's called in English.
A sex change. She had a beard.
Let's hope it wasn't that.
No.
And she couldn't have sex because of that, and well, it's fine. And she went away, and another day we're going out on a date, and everything's going well, and we're going back to mine, and I know we're going to have sex. But I'm thinking, I'm tired of this copy-paste shit, and I don't really want to sleep with her. Mm-hmm. And we are right at my door, and she says, listen, I think I'm not going to come in today.
Yeah.
And me, as everyone, as most people listening know, that whatever you say to the girl, she will come in. She has already been here, we had a nice second date, she's coming in regardless of what I say.
Mm-hmm.
But what I did was, oh well, okay, that's fine, bye.
The power of the push.
And, Yeah, no, it wasn't the power to push. It was just, I realized I'm tired of this, like, fucking girls I don't really want to fuck and that aren't interesting to me anymore. And I came to a point where I just was happy to send a girl home.
Okay, the accidental power of the push. That's rock star level game. Yeah, you weren't trying to game her, but by the sheer act of telling her to go away, that's when girls become obsessed.
Yeah, but I didn't respond to her text later. I didn't
Poor girl.
Talk to her because I realized I don't wanna sleep with her. And I really started thinking, well, who are the girls I want to sleep with?
Well, that's good. That's a sign of abundance and obviously non-neediness.
Yeah. And actually, the one of the greatest things I've gained from or learned from day game on and found in my life was I had this ex, because I told you I was gonna tell a story about my ex. And when we first were back at hers, she basically said to me, "You can do to me whatever you like. I have no limits." Mm. So I did the craziest thing I could imagine. And I asked, from 1 to 10, how hardcore was this? And she said, 2.
Wow.
And we did all the BDSM shit and the threesomes and like anal on the first date and whatever, the first lay and whatever. And to me, she was like a 9. I didn't know girls like that exist. And if I lose her, then, well, I was, what's the expression, under the thumb?
Yeah, under the thumb.
Yeah, because I thought she's like that and there are no girls like that. And we broke up and one of the first girls I slept with from day game was like 180 slim with huge fake tits who really liked hardcore BDSM shit. And I realized there are a lot of girls like that. If you are the guy who can show that world to them, they become crazy. Like the good girls turn really, really bad. They do shit they've never done in their lives.
They're the ones.
You're the guy.
They're the ones I call shapeshifters. You know, real shapeshifters. That yeah, and they're always the ones perhaps you would least expect when you meet them on the street, or sometimes even on that first date. You're sitting there thinking,
she
sounds bloody dull. You know, she sounds pretty boring. God, I hope it's not missionary position. You know.
Sometimes it's the girls who have dreamed about that stuff, but they have never tried it, never done anything like that.
Well, God bless those girls. What are the highs? I mean, you throw in some more lows if you want, but have you had any other experiences from day game where you thought, "Fuck me, this is different to having a girlfriend"?
Yeah, as we spoke when we met in the spring, it's. Sometimes when you start day gaming or you come out of relationships, you have a very few options. You don't have that many girls you can sleep with. And then you reach a point at which I was when I met you for the first time, is I had too many, the way you call them, maintenance fucks. Basically, the girls you have to fuck once a week to keep fucking them.
It's a nice problem, but it's a headache.
It's a nice problem. And I really had it. And I had everything I wanted, like the short, the tall, the rocky, the good girl, the princessy, like everything.
Yeah.
Like, I had all of it, and I was tired of it. I didn't want it. And what is the best feeling day game has given to me is I can sit home during the day and just ask, what do I want to fuck today? Is it a girl with large breasts, small, tall, like short? Do I want a chill evening where we can watch a movie, drink some wine, and then have sex? Or do I want just some brutal BDSM and anal? Or do I want a threesome? Or maybe I just want to read a book.
You're a bad, bad, good man, Saint Robert. I love the way you're called Saint Robert as well. It just adds to the irony of filth. Yeah. Filthy fun.
And another high that I really enjoyed. It's actually, you guys probably have read the last lay report with the actress that I sent to you. And it was a high because even though it was a lay that happened in 3.5 hours, I like oxytocin.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of it. And it was really nice. Like, you just sometimes meet someone you're really connected to, and then she goes away, and then you see another one and find another really great connection.
Yeah, the many moments.
I call them, like, basically every girl I fuck, I love her, maybe for 3 hours.
I get it.
But that's really nice.
Because it's a common criticism of players when guys will say to me, but you have no connection, you feel no love, it's so empty. And I feel like just shouting from the rooftops, it's the complete opposite. It's so many love bubbles that I feel often like a dreamy teenager. I'm in love for a day and then I'm in love with the city, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's more love than I've ever had with one static girlfriend.
And I thought about what brought me from those lows to those highs, and I came down to two things. Because some guys say, I like this coach, some say, I like another coach, or everyone has their opinion in game.
Yeah.
And I have a really simple formula. To get like success with game, it's just right material plus right people around you. And if someone argues that, let's say, Mode 1 is a really good book, then I'll ask them, okay, how many lays are you getting? How many opens do you have to do to get a lay using Mode 1? Or how many opens do you have to do to get a lay using RSD methods? Or
yeah, it's
any
just,
other...
It's field testing.
For me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and for me, the best material really has been, I read Street Hustle, I watched Stealth Seduction.
God
Stealth
bless
Seduction
you.
Was actually something that... opened day game for me on a new level, because I noticed some things that you haven't spoken on any YouTube videos that weren't on Street Hustle, but I heard them in your sets.
Oh, you need to tell
especially,
me, because I've run out of material.
Really simple, like the last second of Token LMR, where you're basically naked in a bed and like it's almost P and the V, but she's still like, ah, I don't know. And nothing works. I had this with a really nice girl, and nothing works. I found things that worked up to that point, and she really opened up and wanted to go on.
Yeah.
But at that point, she was like, "No, I don't know whether it's a good idea." And I said, "Oh, are you feeling free right now? Are you feeling the pressure?" "No, I'm feeling really good, but this doesn't work." And then I told her, when I saw you on the street in your pink dress, and you were such a good girl, I wanted to fuck you so bad.
Yeah.
And that's why I learned from Stealth Seduction. On some occasions, on the last second, you really started talking dirty.
Yeah.
And that turned them on so much that they just like...
Logic, at that point, logic is the worst thing to do. And a guy will say, you know, but why? You're naked. But why? You're horny. I thought you wanted it, you know?
No, it's just about turning on.
So we got to switch off that forebrain and talk to the brain that's millions of years old. And that's why the hand on the dick move works. It sounds a funny one when I always say GYDO, get a hand on your dick. But I think it's even in the book, The Evolution of Desire, why women are turned on by seeing men who are hard.
Yeah.
It's just hard wiring, man, quite literally. So yeah, good. Well, I'm glad. I'm very proud. My mother will be proud you enjoy those filthy audios.
Exactly.
Let's move on, if you want, to a little bit of technical game or a technical talking point, which is a very popular talking point, a very popular question right now in the day game pickup community. And it's both, I think, correct and I think it's not correct. And that is different kinds of girls, different kinds of situations and filtering. So you see girls on the street, they come on a date, and in your head you try to put them into a box and say, well, she seems like this, so I'm going to do this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you were talking to me about that, and some of your techniques I thought were good and correct, but when I met you, I warned you that it's a difficult road to go down because it brings up some very dangerous beliefs. I think I'm not saying in you, but in a lot of guys, especially new guys, when they say I'm only going to approach that kind of girl or she looks like this, so I'm not going to talk to her. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So how were you approaching it? You were saying you've discovered, I guess, speeds. And we're talking really about calibration. Different speeds, different girls, different dates.
Yeah. So first of all, like a disclaimer, don't do this on the street. If you say this girl is like that, then or that girl is like that, and this is that type or this is another type, it's just a weasel not to open a girl because she's not your type, she's not hot enough, she's like bitchy or whatever. You're just telling yourself, you're just making up reasons not to open her, and you're opening one type of girl, you're getting good with one type of girl, and that doesn't really lead anywhere. And one other thing that happens is, I call it meta weasels, is you're limiting your growth in game just because she looks like a princess who has a rich husband or whatever, and you find whatever reasons to not open really, really, really hot girls.
There's an even more worrying level, I believe, you know, the inner game one of the purity fantasy or the quest for the quality woman, you know, which is not just bad for your game, but it's a complete misunderstanding of simple biology and secret society, where some guys I really know say, I will not approach a girl who looks like a smoker, or I will not approach a girl with plastic boobs, I will not approach a girl who has tattoos because she's a slut, but somewhere there is the library girl. And that reveals to me something much more alarming than just getting lazy with your day game, you know, because if you've got enough data, if you've had enough dates, you'll know that the quiet ones are horny, and often the horny looking ones, as we said last time, they don't put out.
Exactly.
You just don't know. So I say to the student, go and find out. Go and find out. And as I said to you, Enrique, often I don't know until right at the last minute when she's on my bed and I do the final escalation, and then you get a good surprise or you get a bad surprise.
I call it the wet finger test.
the litmus test, yeah. And some of those rock and roll looking girls, they leave. And some of those really quiet, shy, religious girls, they explode. So
yeah, I've
stopped predicting. I've just stopped predicting.
So anyways, in practical terms, how do I approach it on dates? It's pretty simple. But what we're talking about now is, it's basically it's advanced calibration, and you're looking, you're following the regular structure, the regular dating model. But I look at two really different things. I look on the stereotypical good girl, bad girl thing. Mm-hmm. Basically, is she a stereotypically, like, quote-unquote good girl who's, like, quiet, wears, like, polite dresses and no cleavage and all that stuff, doesn't party too much, etc.? Or is it she a stereotypical bad girl who has the tooth, smokes, like, starts talking about sex, etc., etc.?
Yeah.
But that's one thing I look at. But another thing is, how does she respond to physical escalation?
Yeah, compliance, that is.
Yeah, there are girls who are really quote-unquote good girls, but when you escalate, they let you escalate. So what do you do? Well, you keep escalating, you get them back to yours, and they will quietly take off their pants and spread their legs. Mm-hmm. But let's say there is a girl who is a bad girl, quote-unquote, like, quote-unquote bad girls. I'm not talking about good and bad. It's just a stereotype.
I understand, yeah.
Something that the guys would call a bad girl. And if she is quote-unquote bad girl and responds to physical escalations, that's really easy. It's like the easiest girl to sleep with. But you have to know, but stereotypical. In most cases, you will get some games from those types of girl. If she's bad, quote-unquote bad, and if she's okay with you escalating, sometimes, like, in the end of everything, they will play the biggest games.
Yeah,
I have a short story about this in the end, but it's so...
Let me just jump in with this is an interesting thing I say to students who have just that black and white image. I say, who is more horny, the party kind of tattooed smoker girl or the quiet Muslim library girl? Which one's more horny? And the student obviously says, oh, the party slut. She's so slutty. Well, who has more sex? It's, maybe that party girl. So she's really not in need of your same-day lay. because she might have had the guy yesterday. But that library girl has been waiting 4 months for you to stop her. So again, it's counterintuitive, and you don't know until you do compliance tests.
Exactly, and that's the whole idea of it. Just follow the structure, but look at how she reacts. Some girls, you just have to quote-unquote seduce and escalate, just as you would by the model. With other girls, you know that you have to build your value, like build strong attraction, but then really chill out, push her away, and let her seduce you, because that's her drug. Some girls really like to seduce guys, and they hate when someone really is trying hard to seduce them.
Yeah. A disclaimer for the beginner, perhaps, is I would just have one date model and go for it. You're going to do better if you just go for it every single time. For your, what you're really saying, St. Roberts, is pretty intermediate advanced, where the guy is measuring his levels of attraction, comfort, and seduction all at the same time. That is what calibration really means, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's complicated. But for the beginner, I would say a really simple thing. I started complicating it and like trying to build really strong comfort and go on walks with the quote-unquote good girls, and I decided, fuck it. Mm-hmm. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Yeah.
Just go with the model. If she says no, she says no. Open 10 other girls that get 10 new numbers, go on 3 new dates. Like, you will fuck one of them. Don't worry about complicating things. Just follow the model, sleep with them, and you will start complicating things probably at around 1,000 opens and like 25 plus lays from day game. That's when it's okay to start complicating things, because you are intermediate advanced at that moment.
Yeah, keep it simple, stupid. Kiss.
Exactly.
Definitely have a verbal escalation plan, have a physical escalation plan, try for the bounce, even if she looks so sweet and quiet. Just try it, because you're probably shitting yourself anyway. So, yeah, good stuff. Well, any more stories about highs or lows? Or
I have 2 secret society stories about quote-unquote good girls.
Oh, well, this is music to my ears. Tell me.
So, I'm... Mid-January, I'm in this shopping mall in the center of Riga, and I open a really cute-looking girl who's a dancer. And at the end of the set, she says, "I have a boyfriend."
Yeah.
Well, I don't even recall my answer, but I just, like, didn't react or whatever. And we go on a date, and she actually tells me how she really liked my response to her having a boyfriend, because all the guys, basically, she told me that's a test.
Beautiful.
To how a dude will react, and if it's fine with the dude, it's fine with her.
Yeah.
And we went back to mine, and she is texting her boyfriend that she's out with her friends at some bar. We're finding out until what time the bar is open. So the boyfriend couldn't figure it out. Yeah. And in the end, she goes to the other room, because she was a girl that I first offered her to stay over because it was really late.
Yeah.
And only then I tried to escalate. I won't go into details why, that's advanced shit. Mm-hmm. And I listened to her talking to her boyfriend. "Oh yeah, hi sweetie, I'm really tired, I just got home and took shower, and now I'm going to sleep, see you tomorrow, love you, kisses, kisses, blah, blah, blah."
Yeah.
Well.
You know, can you guess on stealth seduction, which one makes guys the angriest? Which one have I had most emails about? I'll give you a clue, it's with Craig.
Wait, which one? With Craig, the threesome thing?
Yeah.
When, or which was
it's,
it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's that girl. Because she was on that... She wasn't on a date, but she was out with that dude who was looking after her.
Oh, yeah.
And then when she's just finished banging me and Craig, the phone call's on the product. She says, "Hi, babe." And he says, "Where are you, darling?" And she says, "Oh, I had a headache. I had to go home from the club. I was so sleepy. Anyway, I love you. Sleep well." and when you hear and see the secret society right in front of you, you either have a meltdown or you laugh. I mean, I felt bad for the dude. But it's raw. It's biology, man. What's your other secret society story?
A bit more crazy story.
Yeah, please.
So I met this girl a few months ago, and we went on a date, and she's been single for a while, hasn't had sex for 9 months, hasn't ever slept with a dude on a first date.
Yeah.
Hasn't ever had a one night stand.
What an angel.
So, well, I fuck her on the first date.
bad man.
Yeah, and but we kind of, every girl I meet knows I'm into BDSM because I have ball gag and ropes just lying around in my bedroom.
Just lying around.
Yeah, so that they know what's going on. And she starts talk. We start talking about it, and she says, "Wow, that's so interesting. I've never done stuff like that." And we start experimenting, and it goes darker and darker. And let me remind you, she's never done it. She's like quote unquote good girl.
Yeah.
And a week ago, when I met you on the street, I was going to meet a wing of mine. And we went to the seaside, climb up some lighthouse, just chill out. And we're going to the lighthouse, and I'm asking him, "Hey, like, let's go back later and double team the girl."
Anthony would be proud.
And I just sent to her a text that she's going out in 10 minutes. I say, "You have 10 minutes to send me a picture with something inside of you."
You bad man.
She sent me a picture with a butt plug in her ass.
But she's a good girl. She's a good girl.
And I told her, 11:30, let's meet at this address. You're going to have an adventure.
Oh, yeah.
And we did it. And a few days ago, on this weekend, when we were recording this a few days ago, we together with her, we went to a hippie-ish music festival.
Yeah.
Where all we did was we opened sets together with her.
Beautiful.
As a way to find another girl for threesome. We didn't find threesome because when I started putting glitter on another girl's breasts in the forest and started kissing with her, well, the girl I was dating didn't feel so comfortable with that after all.
Yeah.
At which moment I actually told her, "Listen, you can go away as you planned because I'm anyways going to keep doing this." But she decided to stay, and we kept doing it. We kept undressing girls and putting glitter on their boobs. And yeah, so a really good girl.
Yeah.
Was my wing at the festival. I searched for a threesome.
That's beautiful. And I want to finish with one more disclaimer, because this is a common misunderstanding. And I know this podcast will generate this email for me, right? Guys will listen to you and me talking, and they'll say, "Well, you're both wrong," because I know girls that have been great girlfriends, and I know girls that have been psychos. And now, I'm not saying that there's just one type of girl. I'm saying, as you agree, I think, sex first, and then after you've had a lot of casual fun sex, you can decide if she is sexually compatible, if she's cool, you share the same interests, if you're going to have an open thing. But so indeed, you can at one level filter after you've had lots of sex with that girl to keep her, basically. But the point of today's podcast is to say stop filtering before sex. Does that make sense?
That makes total sense.
Because I think I told you in Riga that one of my best girls from last year, when I met her, the day game was really boring. The date was boring. I had sex with her. It was pretty shit. Starfish sex. And I kept seeing her because she had really nice long legs and she was Ukrainian. And I think after about 3 or 4 bangs, maybe a month, she started getting interesting and opening up. And she became my bisexual wing girl. And she was really fascinating. And if I had just judged her on the first date, I would never have seen her again.
But my rule is, if I keep seeing someone, but just for fun, and I've never had a talk, "Where is this going?" I just say, "Where is what going? There is nothing going on. What are you talking about?"
Yeah, slow down.
whenever I see a girl more than 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times,
yeah,
It's not even once a week. That's too often for me, and I will see many other girls. I will keep sleeping with new girls and new girls and new girls and new girls. I just don't like it. I'm bored by that.
But no one's bulletproof, Sim Robert. I can assure you in the next 5 years, maybe 2 years, you will suddenly get an oxytocin hit and be blindsided. And it used to happen to me once a year. Thank God it didn't happen to me last year.
But I already had it with the same delay.
Yeah, it's that the players have the opposite problem, a lack of oxytocin. Well, anyway, that's a different topic for a different time. But God bless you. And how can guys contact you? Because this is not a blatant plug or a butt plug. But you're not a full-time day game coach, but you do offer coaching. And I've, from meeting you, I'm sure you're a solid guy. And if you're in the Baltics, as in Vilnius or Riga, how can they email you?
They can pretty much go to my website, which is saintrobert.blog. I think it will be in the show notes, probably.
Yeah, I'll put it on the notes.
They can send me an email at robert@saintrobert.blog. And on the website, you can as well see, I used to do mailing list, but that I don't like it.
And yeah, it's a bit old
school. I just created a WhatsApp group and a Facebook group. So the info is on the website or will be on the website. Just join the Facebook group, join the WhatsApp group, ask questions. Maybe if you're just coming to Riga and are experienced and want to meet some guys, just post it there. There are some really cool dudes.
Yeah.
Get in touch with me, get in touch with the community, because I'm pretty much organizing the community and doing all the meetups and everything. So, yeah, just reach out to us. We're really open.
Many blessings. You're a good, bad man. And with that, I shall say goodbye. Goodbye from St. Robert's in Riga.
Goodbye and keep hustling.
Keep hustling. That was podcast 161. How do we say goodbye in Latvian?
You can say visu labu.
Visu labu.
Exactly.
Beautiful. Goodbye.